we get things underway this afternoon with a couple of very special guests. Our first guests this afternoon have had more than two dozen Billboard hits, six number ones, seven Grammy Awards, and maybe most impressive of all in the entertainment industry, have been married for more than 50 years. You heard a little bit of their brand new album coming out officially on April 30th, Blackbird, Lennon-McCartney Icons. We are so thrilled to be joined by Marilyn McCoo and Billy Davis Jr. Thanks for being with us today.
Thanks, Rich. How
are you doing?
Doing very well and loving what I've heard so far from the new album. I'll ask the question I'm sure you've been asked a million times. Why Blackbird and why now?
Well, this seems like a good time to be singing a song like Blackbird because, you know, actually, when that song was written by Lennon and McCartney, they wrote it as a civil rights anthem. And so many people didn't realize that, but the timeliness of it is just so right on when we look at what's happening today and in our country and all around us.
Well, and the video that you've released is, it's very simple, but so powerful.
Yes, it is. It makes a statement, and I think the statement should be made, especially at such a time as this.
Yes. You know, we're talking about how the blackbird leaves the nest, and as the bird is growing up, and when you leave the nest, the mother doesn't always know if the bird's going to come back. And we've seen so many of those sad moments happen in our lives today. And it's just a powerful statement to remind people that we're all living together, that we hurt together, and we pray together, and we love together. And so that's it. We just want everyone to remember that we are together.
Well, it's a wonderful message and an incredible version of Blackbird. That everything that you do together is so good. I love the version of Silly Love Songs. And to me, that does a couple of things. It not only shows the range of Lennon McCartney as writers, but it shows your range as singers.
Well, you know, Silly Love Songs was it's a funny story behind that song. You know, years ago, when we were when we had our first album out, we had our You Don't Have to Be a Star. Well, on the charts, we went to number one. And there was somebody on our tail. And come to find out, it was Paul McCartney and Wings. Wings. And the song was Silly Love Song and knocked us right out of the number one spot of the charts. So this is not payback. This is just something that needed to be sung. It needed to be sung during this time because we do need love, and love is not silly.
And a lot of people who've heard that song have said, "Oh my God, do we need a song celebrating love like that today?"
Yeah.
Well, and I love the songs that you've chosen for the album. Yesterday, Help, Ticket to Ride, John Lennon's Just Like Starting Over. And talk if you can about how much of a help in putting this all together you got from young producer Nick Mendoza.
Oh, quite a bit of help. Nick, you know, we found out that Nick's parents introduced him to us years ago, introduced him to the Fifth Dimension Music. And he fell in love with it, but little did he know that he would end up meeting us one day through our management company. And he would be producing, and so he was the one who came up with thinking about, hey, let's try Blackbird, because we had been doing a Beatles medley in our live show, and Blackbird was one of the songs that we were doing, and when it just all came together, people were loving the arrangements that we had on the Beatles medley in our show.
We were delighted that Rick was such a fan because he's so young.
You mean Nick?
No, Nick. Sorry, Rich. Nick was such a fan, and we said, "You really want to go into the studio with us?" And he said, "I would love it." And we started talking about songs that would work, and we started talking about more Beatles songs. And
yeah,
and you know, Billy and I have found that that those songs, there's so many interesting ways of reviving those songs, and it just ended up seeming like a great idea.
Yeah, but the Beatles songs, they lend themselves to being able to interpret them different ways, and that's exactly what we tried to do.
We're talking with Marilyn McCoo and Billy Davis Jr. about their new album, Blackbird. But I wonder if we can go back to the very beginning of your partnership. Marilyn, you were in a group called the Hi-Fis with Lamont McLemore. Is that right?
That's right. That's right. We actually went out on tour with Ray Charles, the genius of Ray Charles. He was managing the group, and we went out on the road with him, and we're out with him for a little while, came back home. That group broke up. And then the next group that came together ended up being the Fifth Dimension. Mm-hmm. Billy had come out from St. Louis to Los Angeles looking for a record deal with Motown. And Lamont knew the people at the Motown offices. So he said, "Well, you introduce me to them and I'll convince them that they want me."
and they did, but they put me on a waiting list. So I was waiting anyway. So meanwhile, that's when we started the group, and the group was called the Versatiles at first, and then it was renamed the Fifth Dimension.
And you already had Ron Townsend and Florence LaRue on board.
Yes.
Well, Florence was the last one to come on board. We were looking for another. We knew that we liked the idea of two women and three men's voices together because it gave you so many possibilities for harmonics and interesting chords, and but we wanted a strong woman's voice, and so Florence came in and sang, and we said, "Oh yeah,
that's the voice
we're looking for."
Well, the song that really you rode to the top of the charts, are written by a great friend of our show, the wonderful Jimmy Webb, "Up, Up and Away," just went to the stratosphere, higher than a balloon, and coming at a really turbulent time in American history. That was the song that people embraced so much.
Really was. It was another song that made people happy.
That's,
you know?
Right. But by the way, Jimmy is a very good friend of ours, too. You know, we're in touch with him quite a bit. And little did we know that song was going to be a hit, because when Jimmy first played it for us, we all looked at each other and thought, well, this song would never be a hit because it was just too pretty. You know, it was a beautiful song, but people just fell in love with it. It made them happy.
Yeah.
And a whole boatload of Grammy Awards for that, and then on to even more success. 1969, what a remarkable year. Two number one songs. Oh, and you got married that year as well.
Oh, right. Yes.
but it took a while.
That was the song that I sang that song, and when I finished in the studio, Billy came out into the studio, and he had tears in his eyes, and he said, "Marilyn, when I hear you sing that song, I realize that we could have a life together."
You know, Rich, I got a bridge I want to sell you.
Well, it was sort of like that. But Billy always tells them that I came and begged him, you know, so I got in the first punch.
But you were friends. You weren't thinking about being romantically involved right away. That took some time.
That's right. Not at all. We met each other, and our friendship started because of our music. And we just used to sit around and talk music all the time. And even when we'd go to parties, we would sit up and sit on the couch. Everybody be up dancing and having a good time. And we'd be sitting there talking about music and talking about our lives. And that's where our relationship started.
Yeah, and that's how our friendship came together.
Now, there's a great story in your book about how you came to record a song that became another number one for you from the Broadway show Hair, and it all started, Billy, as I remember, with you losing your wallet in the middle of New York City.
That's right. That's right. I went out shopping in New York, in Manhattan, and came back in a cab. And for some reason, I lost my wallet, and it fell in the cab. some guy got in behind it, and he found it. He called me in my room. But first of all, I told Marilyn when I got upstairs in the hotel, I said, "Baby, I lost my wallet." And Marilyn said, "Oh Lord, you're in New York. You ain't gonna never find that wallet. You're in New York, man." I said, "Well, okay. Well, I'm gonna forget that. I start thinking about calling the unions and canceling my cards and stuff." But I got a call, and the guy said, "Is this Billy Davis Jr.?" I said, "Yes, it is." He said, "Well, I got your wallet." I said, "What? Well, hold on." I said, "I'll be right over." So I went over to his house. I offered him some money. He said, "No. He wouldn't take no money." So I offered him to come and see the Fifth Dimension. We were performing at a room at the Royal Box, called the Royal Box, at the Americana Hotel. And so him and his wife, they came to the show. I invited them to the show. And after the show, they came back and said, "You know, Billy, the show was great. We had loved you guys." He said, "But since you were so nice, we'd like to invite you guys to our show." And we said, "What show is that?" He was one of the producers of Hair. We had been trying to see Hair. Nobody could get in to see Hair. Nobody. You couldn't find a ticket. You couldn't buy a ticket. And now all of a sudden we got tickets. The lines were long because everybody was trying to get in, you know, because that's the first time that anybody was getting naked on stage. You know, everybody wanted to see that, you know. So we got in and we got a chance to see the show. And there was a young kid by the name of Ronnie Dyson. And he was belting out this beautiful song called Aquarius.
Yes.
And all of us fell in love with that song right away. And so we
called our producer. Pardon me for interrupting, but let me get on because it was so exciting. We called our producer, Bones Howell, and we said, Bones, we've heard our next hit, our next number one record. And so we told him about it, and he said, "Well, I don't know about that." He said, "But let me think about it." He said, "People have tried to record it already." Then he came back to us, and he said, "I've got an idea." And he was the one who came up with the idea of taking Aquarius and putting it together with Let the Sunshine In. Mm-hmm. And then when we were in the studio recording it, then we were singing, let the sunshine in. And so then he said, "Okay, Billy, now take it to church."
Well,
so then
Billy
did some of his gospel licks, and that was all she wrote.
Well, that was to me what made it such an incredibly powerful song, that you couldn't help but sing along and move your feet and put your hands together.
Oh, yes.
You know, it's so funny. That song, still today, when we do it in our show, people just jump up and start singing and clapping. It's amazing.
Yes.
About that song.
And they come down to the front of the stage, and they're dancing. You know, a lot of these people, of course, they're from our generation.
Yeah.
And they come down there and they're reliving their youth. And it is such a beautiful thing to see.
Yeah.
But they keep their clothes on, right?
Yeah, well, we hope so. Yeah, at this age, they have to.
In 1970, you released a song that became another big hit for the Fifth Dimension. And Marilyn, for my money, it's one of the great vocals in all of pop music history, One Less Bell to Answer.
Oh, yes. Thank you. Yes. Burt Bacharach and Hal David. Two of the finest, some of the finest songwriters of our generation, or anybody's generation.
Yes.
Oh yeah, that I always loved torch songs, and Bones Howell brought that song to me and said, "I'd like for you to do this song." And I listened to it and I said, "Oh, it's about heartbreak. I love heartbreak songs." So I started rehearsing it, and Billy and I worked on it together, and he gave me a couple of ideas of how to approach it, and the song became a hit for us.
Yeah. The rest is history.
Now, I was such a big fan of your music, but growing up in that time period, it was always great to see on television, usually the Ed Sullivan Show. But I have to ask, who did your wardrobes? Who put together those costumes for the wonderful TV appearances?
There was a wonderful young designer by the name of Boyd Clopton. He was with us for a number of years. He's no longer with us now. Yeah. But he came up with these ideas. He saw we had Lamont McLemore, who was a photographer in the group, also came up with an idea of maybe we should try taking a color theme like black and white. On this particular night, we did a black and white color theme, and everybody picked something different. That worked for their personalities. And we were performing. And Boyd Clopton was in the audience that night, and he saw it, And afterwards, he came back and he was introduced to us by a friend. And he said, I see what you guys are after, and I think it's a great idea. He said, take your own personalities and take a theme and come up with a new look. Mm-hmm. And that's what he did for the group.
Well, you had tremendous success with the Fifth Dimension. And then in the mid-70s, you decided to go your own way, released your first album, and immediately continued the great success you've had before, this time reaching number one yet again with the song we talked about earlier. But what a great song from 76, You Don't Have to Be a Star to Be in My Show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was a big one for us. And we were surprised that... That something would happen so soon for us, because but after we left the group, we didn't know what was going to happen. And, you know, one of the great things about that particular album was, the name of the album was I Hope We Get to Love in Time. And I remember we started singing I Hope We Get to Love in Time on a lot of shows. And we thought that was going to be a big record, but it didn't. And you don't have to be. In fact, we did that on the Dolly Parton show years ago.
Yes, yeah. We did.
But it wasn't that song. It was You Don't Have to Be a Star was the one that really took off.
And that also led to you having your own summer replacement series on television.
Yes, it did. And that was an interesting experience, because Billy and I, it was kind of an exciting idea to do something on television, and we did six episodes. Mm-hmm. They were trying different ideas to see what new concept they wanted to try in the fall. It was CBS at the time, and we did six shows and found out that it was fun, but we really preferred performing live. That is where we derive our greatest joy.
Although you had great success as a host of Solid Gold for many years.
Yep.
And I really enjoyed that, too. It was a lot of fun. I thought, I don't know if I want to go back and do television. But you know what? That was a great time, because the music was new. And the first year I was with, the first year was Dionne Warwick and, I'm blanking on his name. The country singer who had all the hits with Jimmy.
Glenn Campbell.
Thank you. I had one of those senior moments. Sorry, folks. And then, Dionne and Glenn did it the first year, and then the second year, Andy Gibb and I did it. And then I stayed with the show for 5 years. It was a lot of fun, and Billy came on the show, and we sang duets together, it was a good time.
It was a different experience for you, too.
Yes, it was.
You got a chance to interview and sing together with different artists, and I thought it was nice. Yeah.
Well, thank you, dear.
And you both did a lot of acting through the years as well. Was that a different than performing live and doing your music to stretch that other side of your artistic ability?
Well, you know, I always thought I wanted to be an actress, and I was trying to decide between music and acting. And we had a chance to do an appearance on a show called It Takes a Thief, Robert Wagner's, one of his major hits. Mm-hmm. And the group appeared on there, and I had a role with him where we had a relationship that started to develop. Mm-hmm. And in one of those scenes, the group was in the studio, and we sang One Less Bell to Answer on that, as well as Puppet Man.
As well as Puppet Man, right.
And what I discovered, Rich, was that as much as I enjoyed the acting part, I really missed the music. So,
but you know, we still pursued a lot of the acting, because we did Days of Our Lives. You remember?
Oh, that's true. We're still doing that.
and then I ended up getting on Days of Our Lives. And you know, it's all right to do that, because it's a challenge, you know, and you decide that, hey, you know, I can do this stuff, you know, so we did a lot of that, and we did a lot of
theater.
Right.
Billy did a production called Blues in the Night, and that was really good.
Yeah,
you did a wonderful job
at the old Globe Theater. Marilyn didn't like it, because I I was performing with three other women.
Three other women. Too many women in the show.
Three women, and myself. That was it.
He seemed like he was having too much fun.
Yeah, right. But it was blues in the night.
Well, it's always been about the music first and foremost for you professionally. Oh, yeah. What led you to bring it back around, back into the studio to make this wonderful new album?
Well, you know, we've done some productions, nothing nearly as big as this project, being with EE1, the wonderful label that Kathy Ireland has put together as one of her business projects. And it's put together with BMG, yeah, one of the major record companies from Germany.
Yeah.
And when they talked to them about the concept and about doing this Beatles production and doing it in a different and new way. And the Beatles music hadn't really been heard for a while. I mean, you never stop hearing Beatles music, but it wasn't as, we weren't hearing it as often. And they heard some of the new approaches that we were doing with the music. They liked it. They liked it a lot. And they said, we're interested in this project. And we were like, oh, at this stage in our lives, at this age, mm-hmm, we're absolutely delighted.
Well, you sound great on the album. You both look amazing as well. I guess 50 plus years of being in love does that. What's the secret to that? How have you been able to maintain not just a marriage, but a friendship for more than 50 years?
Well, you know, Rich, you wouldn't do nothing to hurt your best friend. So that's basically what it is. I mean, we started our relationship started out as friends, and we've been friends ever since. In fact, our friendship got even stronger.
Yeah,
we together all day, every day, and we don't know what to do unless we are together. So
and of course, we share our faith together too, which I think is very important, especially for relationships.
Yeah, you know? That's right.
Well, it's so wonderful to talk to you. I've enjoyed your music, well, since the first time I heard Up, Up, and Away, and we're so appreciative of you making time for us this afternoon, and can't wait to hear the entire album, Blackbird, Lennon McCartney Icons, when it comes out April 30th. Marilyn McCoo, Billy Davis Jr., thank you so much. We wish you continued success and good health.
Well, thank you, Rich. Thanks for having us.
Marilyn McCoo, Billy Davis Jr. with us here on Downtown.